Welcome to the Tim Fowler Show, where production is paramount, and we discuss the tools, time, and people associated with getting jobs done and making a profit. On today's episode of the Tim Fowler Show, we will be talking about the labor shortage from a small town perspective with the help of special guest Wally Staples of Wally J. Staples Builders in Brunswick, Maine. Alongside Tim Fowler, I'm your co-host Steve Wheeler. Here is the Tim Fowler Show.
I'm Tim Fowler and welcome to the Tim Fowler Show. It's great to have you tuning in once again. Maybe I don't say it enough, but I just want to say thank you for making these podcasts. They're a lot of fun and very successful. I hear from people all over the country. Keep sending in those emails, both to tell me that you're listening, but also to give me ideas on what we can put on the show. So what happened with this topic was that I was driving with my sister up to Maine from Rhode Island. We have a cottage on a small island off the coast of Maine. And my middle brother and I and my younger sister go up every June 1st or so to open it up. And so we're on our way up there and we're just driving along and we're going through Brunswick, Maine. And I thought about one of my clients there, Wally Staples. And I don't know why I thought this, but it was just like, bam, I wonder how Wally manages in this economy in a small town. And not only just a small town, but a small town in Maine where, you know, everybody is their own craftsman, it seems like, and nobody really wants to work for somebody else. They just have their own little business. So I called him up and I said, hey, how about being on the show with me? So really what it amounts to is we're back on that labor thing. And if we don't get any credit for anything else, maybe we get credit for solving the labor crisis in this country. But we're back on that, and we want to talk to Wally a little bit about how do you make it work in a small town? For those of us who have been in a big metropolitan area, I mean, there's thousands of people looking for work and really great carpenters out there. But what's it like in a small town with a small population? So let's jump right into it, Steve.
All right. So Wally started Wally J. Staples Builders, Inc. over 25 years ago in 1993 as a young guy in his early 20s. Being a carpenter by trade, Wally worked in the field building new homes and completing renovations until 2001, when he hired his first lead carpenter, David Swan, who is still with him today. This allowed for Wally to work on growing the company, and now they have 5 full-time in-house carpentry crews and have completed more than 3,500 projects over the years. Welcome to the show, Wally.
Well, thanks, Steve. Thanks, Tim.
Hey, so this is going to be a lot of fun. So just give us a little bit of a rundown about your business and maybe just a little bit about Brunswick, Maine. What's the town like and what drives the economy and those kinds of things?
Sure. So Wally J. Staples Builders, we're design build builder at this point. Since about 2013, we've done all our projects through a design build process. We primarily do residential projects. We do things from kitchens and bath renovations all the way through to custom homes.
Okay.
Currently, we're running 5 in-house crews. We're using a couple of subcontractor crews as well to wow. help us get some of the projects done that we wouldn't be able to ordinarily. Currently, we have 16 W-2 employees, and we have a project estimator and in-house designer. To give you an idea of the size of our company, in 2018, we did a little over $5.1 million, and we're on pace to about $5.6 million this year. And as Steve mentioned, amazingly, we have completed, you know, well over 3,500 projects in the last going on 26 years, worked for some of the most wonderful people that you could ever work for right here along the coast of Maine.
Yeah.
Brunswick is and you're familiar with it a little bit, Tim. Yeah. Brunswick is not a large town. It's about 20,000 people in it. It's almost like a retirement area to some extent. People from southern New England and even the mid-Atlantic states come up here because we have that coast and they want to they want to land here. We have the Bowdoin College here in Brunswick, so that's another draw.
Right.
As far as, you know, some of the business. We're right smack between the world famous L.O. Bean in Freeport and the BIW Shipbuilders in Bath. So a lot of people are employed by those two companies. So that's certainly a part of our economy.
Yeah, that's so we're probably one of the most famous people that our listeners would understand is that Fred Case actually lives in Brunswick.
Yeah, he lives up this way. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so
I never met him, but he does live in this area.
Yeah. Okay, so when we were talking about getting ready for the podcast, we were just thinking, like, you had just hired somebody. So what's driving the hiring in your business there in that town?
Yeah, so for us, we can put more work under contract than we can produce, it seems, certainly in this economy. So we're always needing more skilled craftsmen, and that's a challenge. You hit on it a little bit, Tim, in the opening there, that in Maine, we're a very independent group of people. There's a lot, it's a fragmented industry. There's a lot of guys that, and ladies, I suppose, that do skilled work like carpenters and plumbers and electricians and so forth, painters, and they just want to work for themselves. They just want to be independent. So to join up with a company is a little different maybe than some of the bigger markets. There's certainly people that understand, you know, that there's some good opportunities to join up with somebody like us, but many of them don't. And so that is always a challenge to lure somebody like that away from their independence into more of a structured environment.
So does that create some challenges in terms of I guess once they come to you, they realize they're working for you and that maybe some of that independence goes?
Yeah, so we've hired three carpenters here recently, and two of them were self-employed for the last 15 years. One of them has adjusted really, really well. The other one, is a very hard worker, and I think that the structure of we start at 7, our guys start at 7, they work till 5, Monday through Thursday, and 7 to 3 on Fridays. And that was a little bit of a change up, you know, self-employed people, maybe they start at 6, maybe they start at 8, but we start at 7. And so, we've worked through that, and it's working out pretty well. But so there's challenges when someone comes in. You know, they've been out there doing it themselves for years, with the answer to themselves for the most part.
Yeah. So is there anything special like benefits or anything like that that you're offering that might be unusual for, again, a small town and the economy of a small town?
I think so. There's a lot of, you know, smaller builders or smaller contractors that maybe can't offer any benefits. And, you know, as I was thinking about this, you know, when you'd asked me to maybe be part of this, I thought it through a little bit. And, you know, honestly, it's pretty amazing to me some of the benefits that we've been able to build out, you know, through the years, you know, since I started as a young guy.
Right.
You know, we provide the standard things, the paid time off. You know, I've got employees that are getting as many as 4 weeks of vacation time and sick and personal days. And we probably have 10 or more holidays that we pay throughout the year. I'm always trying to, as an example, the 4th of July was on Thursday this year. Well, let's give them a bonus day and take Friday off, make a long weekend of it. So there's, you know, probably more of like a dozen of those days throughout the year. We do help with the, with health insurance, which is a big one. Everybody gets a certain amount of money per month that goes into an HSA, like an HSA and funds their health insurance. And one of the big things that I've focused in on is a retirement plan. And I'll tell you what kind of got me thinking about it, besides the fact that I have been doing it for myself. I read in Custom Home Builder several years ago, and I couldn't tell you what year it was, but there was an article in there, and it stated, I believe it was 82% of custom home builders or remodelers, that type of people, which pretty much in Maine, that's what everybody would be, retire on Social Security. And I said, boy, that is a really high percentage of people that are retiring on Social Security. And I thought, wait a minute, if the contractors retire on Social Security, how many of the employees are retiring on Social Security? And I would guess, you know, 95% or more. And I said, well, you know, I'm certainly not going to work my entire career and fulfilling everybody else's dreams and retire on Social Security. And I don't want the people that work for me to either. So we established a 401k plan. We had a simple IRA for years. Then we moved it into a 401k plan. And the company matches 4%. But the thing that we are able to do through that, 4%, and then we there's a side of the 401k called the Safe Harbor Plan where you can do profit sharing. And right. we implemented that many years ago. And the lowest percentage we've done since we've implemented it was 7%. And so each year, our employees are getting anywhere from 11 to 15% of their income on top of their income going into their retirement plan. And when you do that, plus their contribution, they can start to build some retirement pretty quickly. And I'm very proud of it because there's just a lot of people in our trade, in the trades in general, that just have nothing like that. And even we hire people that are, you know, older that haven't started, and they start with us. And my father-in-law has a saying, when's the best time to plant an oak tree? 40 years ago. When's the second best time? Today. So kind of I say, don't get discouraged. Let's get after it. And so through the profit sharing, we're able to help them, you know, start to build a little sooner than they would otherwise. And it gives us all something to work towards for 12 months throughout the year. You know, you can, as you know, Tim, you can get bonuses based on a job that went really well. The man hours came in under or whatever, good estimating helped out, whatever it might be. But what about the next job that didn't go so well? Do you take money back? You don't, right? So by doing profit sharing, it's truly, you know, CPA has gone through all the numbers and worked it all out, and then we're able to share back with it. And so we all have that incentive to do our very best and be as efficient as we can throughout the year. And it's pretty unique. We use John Hancock, handles our retirement plan. And I always try to make a big deal of it when we announce the percentage. And so we'll have a, you know, have a lunch or whatever, and everybody will come in. And I put together some stats a few years ago, and I asked John Hancock, well, how many, you know, small main residential builders are offering profit sharing? And they said, they came back and they said, you know, we've done a lot of research on this, and we've come back and we found one. It's you in Brunswick, Maine. So nobody else out there that they could find, at least it works with them. So it's pretty unique, but I feel like it's a really great thing that in the long run, I want people that worked with me to say, boy, I'm glad I worked my career with, you know, with Wally. It's been very good to me, and I've been wise with what I've done. But I want people that have been with me throughout their career to retire, and they'll do what they want to. You know, they can go work at Home Depot in the plumbing department if that's what they want to do. But I only want it to be because they want to do that. I want them to be able to, you know, retire with some dignity and do what they want to do. And so that's what I'm working towards.
So Wally, one of the questions I had like immediately was, how do you keep them aware of this profit sharing as you go through the year? It sounds like a great motivator, but I've kind of found it hard for companies to keep everybody focused on that. Or is it really just like at the end of the year, you kind of surprise everybody?
Oh, no. We talk about it on a regular basis. We have an annual company meeting in January where we, you know, we talk about our, we review the things that happened the previous year and our accomplishments and things like that, year over year numbers and things, set goals and things. So we're talking about it right out of the gate, you know, what are our goals for the year and so forth and whatnot. So we're keeping it present in mind. We're always reviewing, you know, that autopsy after a job is done, you know, that job is gone. And so we're talking about the profit share, and we're talking about our modification rating with our workers' comp. We're at a 0.75, and if people are aware of it, and I'm sure most contractors listening are, a 1 would be standard for an equal-sized business that does what we do. We're a 7.75, so we're paying 25% less than workers' comp right now because of our safety record.
Yeah,
we bring that up. That's going into profit sharing because that's money the company is keeping rather than giving it to MEMIC Insurance. And so every chance, every opportunity I have, we're going to hit on it. We're going to talk about it. We have a weekly planning meeting with our lead carpenters and estimator, and it's talked about often, just so that everybody is remembering, you know, because 12 months is a long time.
Yes,
so
it is.
I want to stay focused on that. And the reality is the profit sharing usually isn't announced until probably April-ish, you know, kind of in that range. So it's going to be a wait for it. But, you know, my goal is to keep everybody excited about it, working towards it, and then get the reward. And unlike a bonus that you go and you buy a boat, this is going to be you buy the boat when you retire type of thing. It goes into retirement. So it's not instant gratification, but hopefully they'll thank me for it later in their life.
Well, I was just sitting here thinking, I wonder how many calls you're going to get as soon as this thing airs on the on the podcast. But so I guess the other side of it, let's look at the other side of it. Anything that you have dropped from your requirements just to be able to hire people? In other words, I think sometimes we start off in this business like, I'm only going to hire this type of person, that type of person. I remember a remodeler in Hampton Roads, Virginia Beach area, that told me he never would have hired anybody with long hair or tattoos. until he heard me say it at a seminar, just get over it, dude. Not, and I don't remember ever saying that, but he says I did. And he hired a really good guy that had like waist long blonde hair. Right. And so is there anything that you've kind of dropped over the years just to make sure that you're able to get people to work for you?
Yeah. You know, it's, you hit on one of them. The tattoos was one. I've really tried to run a professional company. And so when I started out, it's like, no one's going to have any tattoos, any piercings, any long hair and all that. Now the piercings, we still have to stay away from that because of the safety hazards and things that can happen. But right. Tattoos have become so common in society, it seems, you know, at least the time I've been in business.
Right.
I've got a bunch of guys that have tattoos. Now they've got to be reasonably appropriate.
Right.
You know, you can't have something that's going to scare. You know, we work for a lot of 55 plus people, a lot of older people, and you can't send somebody in that they're going to be threatened by. Usually the people that have the tattoos are some of the nicest people. They're the ones that are going to stop and change a tire beside the road in the rain, you know. And,
right.
But so you have to, we've had to loosen up a little bit on that. We do provide company, you know, shirts and hats and things like that. So we want our guys dressed professionally all the time, but the tattoo thing is definitely something we've got over. And the long hair, I got over that a long time ago. it's not a big deal to me at this point.
Right.
Yeah. So Wally, at this point, how are you recruiting? You know, you mentioned the past two carpenters that you had start with you. Are you having people actually show up? You know, kind of Tim alluded to that a second ago about people giving you a call to work for you, but are you, how are you finding this talent?
Yeah, so good question. You know, even 15 or 20 years ago, we could put an ad in the local newspaper here in Brunswick and probably have 15 or 20, you know, qualified people reach out to us that may have some interest in being a carpenter with us. And it was almost like, well, there's way too many people to pick from. Let me just, you know, choose some and just move on. That has completely gone away. It's really kind of a waste of time being run ads like that because I know the newspaper industry in general is having a little trouble. So we've turned to online. It's different than what we used to do. One of the more effective ways that we've done it as well is we have a sign we put out in front of our office that says now hiring skilled carpenters or whatever position we're looking for. That's helpful. And we can't leave it up too long though because people think it's just, you know, there's no urgency to it. But what we did something recently, and I'll give you an example where we're at in our market. The two most recent carpenters I hired, they're both long-term craftsmen. One is 59 and one is 60. So that's, you know, we have an older population in Maine in general, but we certainly have an older population that's doing the trade work, you know. So, what we do, every once in a while, I have like this little review sheet that I give our employees that just, it has about seven questions on it. You know, how are things going and anything the company can do better? What do you like about your position? Things like that. And David Swan, the fellow I mentioned earlier, he actually had written down something to the effect that, you know, he loves the fact that he can be his own boss, but he doesn't have to be self-employed. And it kind of hit me. It's like, boy, as we talked about, there's a lot of self-employed people out there. Maybe there's people out there that if they knew that you can actually go out and run your own job site without the boss looking over your shoulder all day and have that structure and the security and the workers' comp and the benefits and the things that go along with it, maybe it would maybe draw some people in. So we actually videotaped David, you know, saying that, and we actually targeted, you know, online and we actually ran it on some television commercials and things, and I've got quite a bit of response from it from these self-employed guys that are out there saying, hey, you know, I'd like to at least talk to you and see if there's an opportunity there. We'd also put it on our website, on our employment page, so people can see it as well. But I'm convinced that if most self-employed people have an opportunity to sit down and look, there a lot of times, even when it's busy, they're not working 12 months out of the year because I started out that way, and you're working, and it's Thursday, and you realize, okay, I need something for Monday, and I didn't either order the material or I don't have that job sold. And so there's a delay between jobs sometimes. They're probably working more like 9 months out of the year, and they're chasing work the other parts of it. So when you work for a company like ours, you know, we do all that. And so these guys can go out there and work. They're 12 months out of the year, less their vacations and time off, and not have to worry about anything else. But they get to, you know, our lead carpenters have that ability to be completely in control. And part of the reason I can do that is through Tim's help years ago, he good job binders, you know, giving them the information and give them the good plans and the things that they need, and they can go out and do the work. And if I had to go out there with them, they're not a lead carpenter. So this actually worked pretty well. We got a lot of response from it. We also ran some ads on television, which I had never done before, but a salesperson that had called on me at previous locations she worked at just wore me down. And I said, okay, I'll do it, but this is what I want to do. We had a customer appreciation event last year. We do that about every 3 years at our office. And we usually probably have 150 or so people, past customers, will come to that. And we have a catered event and so forth. And so we had them come, and we got a bunch of testimonials from our customers on video, which is great. And we put those on the website too. But we ran those kind of more of as a branding thing throughout the winter months. And then we put a tagline on there, you know, due to our success, you know, and growth, we're hiring. And, you know, people saw it. And so we got some response from that too. So then you got Indeed and ZipRecruiter and all those places. So there's ways to get to people. It's just getting those stubborn people to come and see you, and so you can talk about it a little bit.
That's great.
Yeah. So it's, yeah.
Yeah. So this is really cool. I had heard that doing the video thing is really a big deal. And there's a plumbing company in our area it's big. It's much bigger, maybe bigger than you, but they're actually doing TV commercials with some of their employees on there doing that kind of thing. So that's a huge, huge thing. So I know you do training with your team.
We do.
Do you feel like that's part of your success in terms of not only getting people in, but keeping people long-term?
I absolutely do. We brought in a guy named Tim Fowler several years ago, and he came in, did some production training here at our office in Brunswick. And, that certainly, we've always had the, well, I shouldn't say always, I guess I developed my lead carpenter system when I hired David back in 2001. But if David was sitting here with me, he'd say, yeah. And it used to be you'd hand me a set of plans and say, this is the address to the job, go build it.
Right, right.
So it wasn't a real good scope of work, a job binder. And I'm proud to say I think we have one of the best job binders now. My goal is to put a job binder together that has zero questions. And it's not always possible because things happen. But if I do my best, and I'll even push back. And my estimator, that's far more the estimating and project manager than I do now. But if someone comes to my office and asks a question, I'll say, did you look in the job binder? Because it's typically there.
Yeah.
But I learned that through that training with you, Tim. And so through that, we also we purchased your CDs and your written content and put together an 11-week training that we do with our lead carpenters. And so we try to do that training when we either promote somebody to the lead carpenter position or we hire a new person. And we're looking forward to going through it again soon. But this is not the time to pull guys off sites. We try to do that in the off-season, winter months a little bit. One of the other things that we've done, and this takes time and work, and it evolves a little bit, is develop really good job descriptions and processes that go along with that. So a carpenter would have a job description, a lead carpenter, project manager has one, estimator, designer, and so forth. And then you can train from them, right? You have something you can actually tag to, and you can, you know, discuss, and well, whose role is it? Who's responsible for lining up the plumber? Not the carpenter, it's the lead carpenter, right?
Right.
And it's
right.
not the estimator. And so we can get mixed up on who's supposed to be calling for what. And so we work from that. We hold monthly safety meetings, and we do OSHA 10 and things like that. And like I mentioned earlier, our modification rating is really great right now.
Yeah.
And you do monthly training. And so we're always doing that. We try to take advantage when the suppliers bring people in, like Hancock Lumber is our primary supplier and one of their larger customers locally. They brought in the Cats Roadshow last year in Freeport.
Oh, cool.
And you're familiar with that. And
we sent
all our field guys to it for the day, and they respond to it because instead of someone just trying to sell you a zip tape, you know, somebody's actually showing them what you do with zip tape to flash in a window. And you know, these are guys that are doing it like they do it. And so it's always beneficial. We send a couple of guys to Trex Deccan, the manufacturing plant. We've had guys go to Anderson, gone to the Cola plants, all kinds of places. Anytime I can do that, because they're learning things about the actual materials that they're putting down and so forth. So we brought in a National Association of Home Builders trainer, do 3 days of the certified agent in place training. So big on training. It's an investment. I found that sometimes you can bring the trainer to you. It actually costs less than sending people off a little bit here and there, but not everybody can do that. But, you know, I feel like just like planning, training is going to come back and reward us all. And I'm never fearful that I'm going to overtrain somebody and they're going to leave me to go someplace else. If they do, you know, they do. But I think going back to, David's the one that's been with me the longest, 18 plus years. But I've got a bunch of carpenters been with me well over 10, 12 years. And yeah. I think once we can get them in, and then the way we treat them and take care of them and so forth really helps. And it's not always the monetary part of it. I will tell you, I started out really young and I had a lot of people that was older than me working for me, and I'm pretty driven. I'm busy and I'm get after it type of guy. And what I've learned is, take a minute, you see guys, say, hey, how's it going? Call them out by name. And, that recognition sometimes is, it means a lot to people. And sometimes that can be, you walk into a shop like a Monday morning, there's a dozen guys around, you're saying hi to everybody, but you just do it. And, I think that's been beneficial to us is just trying to, make people feel like they're part of something other than just the job. And it seems to be paying off, because once we can get people in, we're able to keep them.
So as we start to wrap this up, Wally, one of the big topics in our production manager roundtables is having a little bit of fun with your people. And so I'm just wondering if you guys are doing anything kind of special in terms of just having fun as a team and doing things like that, and that maybe that helps keep people together.
Yeah, just last week we had a going away party for someone that worked in our office. She's going to start a little retail business, and I think it's great. But I had this idea, an employee who works for us, her boyfriend is actually a juggler and a contortionist.
Oh, wow.
I says, I'm gonna hire him to come in and entertain us at the party. And it was really fun. He came into the shop and he did his juggling, and he balanced a 6-foot fiberglass extension ladder off his chin with a bunch of other stuff on it. And the wackiest thing he did was he is a regular sized grown man. He fit himself through a tennis racket, so just goofy stuff. Got our guys.
No, wait. A regular tennis racket.
A regular tennis racket. He pulled the strings out and he fit himself through. It was really incredible that he could do this. And he has a lot more flexibility than most people, I guess.
But Tim, you can't do that. I said, Tim can do that. That's a big deal.
Yeah, and he got some of the guys involved, so it made it fun. We had some cake and refreshments and things, and gave the guys, everybody some paid time off for the afternoon. And so we try to do things like that. And we have that annual company meeting I mentioned, and we'll give out a sheet a couple of weeks before it and ask for, hey, what are some accomplishments we had the year before? What are some goals and things and, feedback and things? Surprisingly, a lot of these big, tough carpenters are saying, boy, I wish we could just do more things together as a company. And so they like doing things like that, and so we're trying to do things like that. Something simple is we sign a birthday card for everybody and give them a $50 bill on their birthday. I actually handed a carpenter one this morning. It's just some recognition again, and it could be, they're an adult. Maybe we're the only ones giving them a card today, but, so we make a big thing out of it. Somebody's birthday and everybody teases them or whatever else. So we try to have fun. We do get after it and go do the work, but we don't want it to be so, so rigid that people don't want to come to work. This isn't the industrial age. This is 2019, so it's a little different.
Yeah. This has been really fantastic, and I just want to tell you that every time I drive through Brunswick, I keep looking for the Wally Staples trucks because I feel like I know somebody there, which is really, really cool.
Sure.
Well, thank you so much, Wally. Really appreciate everything that you've given us today.
Yeah, well, hopefully I've shared a few nuggets. I get some from others, and, as I listen to these podcasts, so hopefully I shed some ideas out there.
Yeah, this has been great, Wally. Thanks so much.
Take care.
All right. We'll catch you later.
Take care. Tim, this is a very special episode. Wally just obviously he's just a cool character. He's just kind of gets it in terms of running his business. And yeah, it started with him all the way up to where it is today. But, you see just he mentioned David Swan, his employee, has been there for 18 some years. And the labor shortage has been a talking point for the past couple of years. There's always been issues around it, but, Wally's always been kind of just doing it right, and I don't know if that's a core value thing, what that is, but, I think instead of rushing out to just kind of, hey, we got to get employees, just organically, kind of his oak tree analogy there. It's just, you know, just start, but you know, it's got to grow into it and you'll get there. But I think everybody doing that collectively, this was a very special podcast.
Yeah. What's so incredible about it is that, you know, Wally mentioned, you know, 10, 15 years ago, he could put an ad in the paper and get 15 different people applying and that's over.
Yep.
And almost every contractor in this country can say the same thing. But what they're not saying is that doesn't matter. I'm going to find them anyway. What most people are saying is I can't find good help. Wally's saying, you know what? Let's try something different. Let's put a video out there. Let's do a client dinner meeting and have them do some testimonials. Let's do these things. And he is bringing people in. You know, you're right. For him, it just seems like it's a natural, but I know him well enough to know he just works really hard to make this work for everybody. The other thing I wanted to really quickly mention, and again, just in case it kind of slipped by in the process, is one of the most important things you can do for people that doesn't cost you a lot is paid time off. And you'll notice, like 4th of July, he mentioned, he gave everybody off on Friday, paid them and everything. So, okay. And you just can't imagine the mental impact that that has on your staff just to do that rather than say, you can be off on Thursday, but you better be here tomorrow. And so this strict 7 days, that's it, is kind of crazy. And I'll just bet you that that's one of the biggest impacts that he has on his team there is this generosity. And then if you listen carefully, there's always profit to share.
Yeah.
So he's not throwing anything away. He's not giving away the ship, but he's giving away. And that brings loyalty as well as, I believe, efficiency and production.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned the 4th of July example, but, you know, I assume that construction people may hang out with other people that are in the trades and, you know, they say, I have off tomorrow. You know, my boss gave me off. We have paid time off. That has tentacles.
Paid time off.
Yeah. I mean, that has a far reaching, you know.
That's exactly right. So that's going to be the kicker.
Yeah. And as the son of a financial planner, as well as my brother, I mean, my ears were open when he was talking about, you know, contractors having to retire on Social Security. It's just something to think about. And his employees, I mean, David Swan's got to be, he'll be sitting on a boat someday. So,
So this is another one of the things that I really wanted to follow up with. I mean, there's just so much gold in here. But this idea, his realization that says maybe there's a bunch of self-employed people out there that would like some benefits. So ding, ding, ding. Victoria Downing calls Tim Fowler and says, hey, how'd you like to work for us?
Steve Wheeler too.
Right at that point in my life, I needed health insurance. I needed retirement badly. And I said, sure, let's do it.
Same exact example.
I had said no previously.
Yeah.
But I said, no, it's the right time. So I really want to get people to think about that. Start approaching those folks out there. Let them know what your benefits are. Let them know what you can share with them. And they more than likely will be interested in coming to work for you.
Yeah. Well, this was awesome. So once again, we would like to thank Wally Staples for joining us today. And we always want to thank you for listening to another episode of The Tim Fowler Show.
And remember, at The Tim Fowler Show, we're working hard to eliminate it is what it is from your vocabulary.
This has been another episode of The Tim Fowler Show. Want to hire Tim and fast track your growth? Visit remodelersadvantage.com/consulting to learn more. And if you'd like more information about roundtables, our world-class peer advisory program, please send me an email at steve@remodelersadvantage.com. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the show and comment on iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.